And we are live.
You sure about that, Will?
I hope so.
You have any proof to suggest that that's the case?
The big old live button right here.
Is it red?
It says end stream, actually.
That's terrifying. Don't want to press that. That's scary. Listen, we've landed on a scenario here in an attempt to satisfy all parties.
Uh-oh.
Sounds so corporate. You know what I mean? Like you're in a meeting or something. Uh-huh. Because like there's so many different ways to do live on YouTube. And I think the more that we do it, I think it's only natural that you're inclined towards experimentation. And
there's too many options.
There's a lot of options. So anyway.
Not in a bad way.
Anyway, I think this is ideal though, is what we do is we have the scheduled event. We have the scheduled event.
It actually sounds like very calming.
Scheduled event?
Yeah.
I'll see you later at the scheduled event.
Because people are busy.
And then you can select your notifier as you see fit. And you can still chat and suggest things and so forth. But we have a couple suggestions actually from the pre-chat that was happening on top of the scheduled event, which are in the show today. Mm. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. We may have a shorter kind of condensed pre-show thing after that, but it was just too messy going to the full video. But I was telling Will prior, we're here for the people. We need to give the people what they want. Ultimately, that's our job. It's our duty. And it's certainly our daily task. And we love this show, so we want it to flourish. Mm-hmm. And if that means modifying our behaviors in order to be as helpful as possible, we are totally, utterly, exclusively down for that.
Hot tub streaming? Let's go.
Whatever the community needs from us. One thing we won't do is box each other.
Yeah.
Because
no touching of the face.
We're not trying to harm each other in that kind of way. Not over here. Not in this little corner of the internet. Mm. This is a warm place. It's a warm place in a cold world. Oh. Although okay. It's still not that cold here. And I can tell you because we've been trying to build that outdoor rink and the thing keeps melting every 5 seconds. Right. It's 3 above again over here. And I'm talking Celsius, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much to everybody who's joining us here today. There are many things to talk about, lots to do, lots to say. Obviously, the biggest story at the moment is about these new MacBook Pro models.
Yep.
People are all fired up in the Apple world because we haven't had any new product announcements in a while, and that's what people are looking forward to. It's either what people are looking forward to or what people are getting angry about because 2023, you know, 2023
sure, yeah.
is going to be the year of difficult excitement, I think, when it comes to consumer electronics and purchasing things in general, electric cars and so forth. It's going to be a bated breath. People are going to be holding their breath and people are going to be a little bit more conservative with their spending. That's what I think, Will.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be looking for value in 2023. Mm-hmm.
So mid-range.
I think so. And if people are looking at these MacBook Pros, I think they're going to be looking at maybe not necessarily specking them out all the way. Maybe they're going to be looking for value for money in 2023. Mm-hmm. It's the name of our channel in 2023 is Value for Money.
Yeah.
Because this show offers a tremendous value for money.
Yeah, for free.
Is it really free? Is anything free, Will?
Well, I mean, you have to pay for attention.
They got to pay for bandwidth.
Oh, right, yeah. We got to do that.
Well, that was another criticism of the extended pre-show was I'm a type that downloads the show because I have a shoddy connection. So I download the show and I listen on the train. Then they had to download an hour's worth of pre-show.
Oh, right, yeah.
See what I mean?
We didn't think about that.
No, you can't think about all of it, man. We need the community. We need the input. To give us all this feedback.
Yeah.
Although you never want to say feedback in a studio with microphones and headphones, do you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big no-no.
It's usually not a good thing, but in the case of the community, it's a great thing. Uh-huh. We run on feedback Feedback is our
run
fuel.
On fumes.
Yeah. the fumes of previous feedback. Feedback loop. Interesting. Yes, thank you very much to everybody joining here today. And the biggest news has been these MacBook Pros, at least in the last 2 days in the tech world. They are expensive. They are extremely powerful. They might be more powerful than, well, what you might need. That's something to consider as well. I was peeking at that new MacBook Air the other day, and I'm like, man, this is like the best laptop for most people, for a lot of people. Mm. And there's interesting things happening outside of the Apple landscape that are possibly more exciting in the sort of convertible realm. Apple recently, the discussion came up, hey, maybe they're going to do touchscreen stuff. Well, none of that is happening here. Not yet. It is still very traditional, the presentation. And listen, some people are into that too. They're like, just give me a laptop and shut the hell up. I want a laptop and I want it to do everything. I want it to edit the videos. I want it to compile the code. Compile the code, please, laptop. Do me a favor. Compile my code. I'm speaking to you, ChatGPT. M2 Pro and M2 Max, supercharged, big price tags, and some what? What do we have? Some 2024 updates. What is this supposed to do? This is supposed to stop you from upgrading right now. Is that what these stories exist for?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, it's a very 2023 concept that we will help you legitimize your decision to not spend money on one of these new MacBook Pros by suggesting that in 2024 they're going to be that much better with M3 Pro and M3 Max chips. And Ming-Chi Kuo is already talking about it. I feel like he has this stuff just really timed out. I think he has a notifier set. Yeah. What he does is he waits for the new product and then he immediately releases his rumors on the next one.
Uh-huh.
Because there's enough people that are looking for justification to not put the credit card down.
Yeah,
they're saying, you know, I'm going to pay off this debt instead because I'm going to wait till 2024 because Ming-Chi told me to. Well, why might you wait till 2024? Because M3 Pro and M3 Max will be built on TSMC's 3-nanometer process. That's why. So it's going to be even, it's going to take you to space, essentially. Mm. That's what's going to happen. This next version will land on Mars.
Yeah, it runs ChatGPT.
That's right. MacBook Pro models with the M3 and M3 Max, M3 Pro and M3 Max chips will go into mass production in the first half of 2024, according to Kuo. TSMC's guidance, 3-nanometer will contribute revenue starting. So he read into TSMC's reports in order to extract the intel that they're going to be making all this revenue on the 3-nanometer and they're producing for Apple, and therefore he can figure out that, you know, what you're going to be looking at in M3 versus M2. M2 is currently built on 5-nanometer, introduced today, mass production kicking off next generation. You could expect those new models in the first half of 2024 with an announcement in the spring, between the spring and WWDC. So there you go. I just, myself and Ming-Chi just told you that you can wait. Mm-hmm. You don't need the new Mac. And people are probably yelling, saying, I waited too long already, Lou.
Yeah.
Need this new MacBook Pro. And you might. But you might not.
I think it's important for people with like mid-range devices. You know, like a...
Yeah.
MacBook that works pretty well for their daily, they don't have to upgrade for the with the M2. They could just wait another year. I feel like it's a good solid choice just to wait.
Which unit have you been using recently? M1?
M1, yeah.
M1.
A 13-inch.
And you're constantly on a timeline exporting all types of clips on that same unit?
Mm-hmm.
And are you feeling, God damn, I need M2? Pro? Max?
I don't think so.
You're not the guy saying that.
No.
And so, I mean, I'm sure there's a user out there that is really looking for performance improvements here, but I'm really starting to think that things are plateauing when it comes to the use case, at least for people in video.
Mm.
That's something I'm noticing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, dude, it wasn't that long ago where we were ordering up specced out Mac Pros to increase export times and stuff is flying right now, and it's flying on the portable side.
3 nanometers. It's flying. That sounds so cool.
The nanometers are flying, yeah. Dude. Development on augmented reality, Apple glasses postponed indefinitely. Oh, God. You never like to hear the word indefinitely, do you? Mm. That sounds like forever. Like if somebody were to say to you, Will, it's your favorite restaurant, they're like, we're closed indefinitely.
Yeah, it's almost like, worse than scrapping the project. You're like,
just, what do you mean indefinitely?
Because it's unknown.
Do it definitely. At least be definitely. Apple has paused development on the augmented reality Apple glasses that it planned to introduce after its mixed reality headset. Reports Bloomberg work on the product has been postponed because of technical difficulties. Rumors suggest that Apple wanted to develop a pair of lightweight augmented reality glasses that would be similar to Google Glass smart glasses. The glasses would provide digital information overlaid on the real world rather than offering immersive virtual experiences like AR/VR, but Apple has not been able to develop the necessary hardware to produce a lightweight wearable that has the power of an iPhone and enough battery life to run it. So they want it to be an iPhone on your face, and iPhones are heavy. Mm. You know, if Apple does it, they're going to want it to be elegant. And when we start thinking about AR, or if you start thinking about, well, even Google Glass for that matter, like anything in this region of the face, anything you're wearing for that matter, you're just so cognizant of the form factor, the weight, the pressure points. This is a sensitive part of your body. Would you agree?
I agree. And it shouldn't look like this, I believe. I don't think people will accept this.
It shouldn't.
The look of it.
It shouldn't look like this, Will believes. Do you have an alternate drawing, product design?
I'll draw something, but it should look like
glasses.
Just regular glasses.
It should look like regular glasses. I think we're in agreement. And some companies have aimed to sort of tackle that. And if you look hard enough, you can tell, hey, there's something funky going on with those glasses. In most cases, in most products that we've seen to this point, Apple might want to make something that is truly indistinguishable from modern glasses when they start to consider their AR headset.
Maybe it is good for them to actually postpone it indefinitely.
Indefinitely? Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, I assume they wouldn't. If they had some killer product that was ready to go, they would, sure, why not? Go sell it.
And maybe they just need to wait for smaller components eventually.
They could be waiting a long time. You might not. We keep hearing similar things with the Apple car. They're like, we're rushing. It's going to be done by whenever. And then they're like, we're going to hold off on that. Apple initially wanted to release the Apple glasses in 2023 before delaying the project to 2025. According to Bloomberg, Apple employees do not believe that Apple will ever ship AR glasses, according to sources close to the matter. I don't know. It's hard to say ever, which is probably why the headline here says indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Ever is really hard to say in the tech space. It might be the thing everybody wants in a dozen years. But this is a type of technological miniaturization that we just haven't seen in a while. To shrink things to that scale, an iPhone in the frame of your regular-looking glasses or iPhone-like power, obviously you don't need the display and other components, maybe less battery because of it, but those capabilities in the glasses you're wearing right now, Will? Oh, baby.
That would be it, actually.
That's
the end game.
It is one of those things when you see that in its final form, it wears off on you and you become accustomed to it. And you're like, yes, of course.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We are humans. We make amazing things. And we all wear these glasses now.
Yeah.
In whatever it is, 20 years.
Uh-huh. Just another alternative here. With the headset.
Oh, yeah. Well, this seems to be where they're putting their focus. They're like, all right, they're like, we can do the VR headset, which also will have some AR in it, but it's going to look like goggles. It'll look like Quest. And like they're showing it off here with a kind of almost the design looks AirPods Max inspired, with that little metallic piece and the shape of the headband and then like some of the finishes, I see the fabric around the eyepiece, reminiscent of the perforated looking colorful materials on the AirPods Max. However, I feel it is even more imperative here to get that weight as low as possible, which is, I believe I've read in the past, an aim of theirs using textiles and so forth. This one is apparently going to be priced at what?
$3,000?
$3,000. So in the early stages, it's going to be focused primarily on developers or power users and such. It's not going to be targeted at everyone in mass market, but you could imagine that thing will trickle down at some point. Another new Apple product, this was more of a stealth or sleeper type scenario in the announcements. I didn't even notice it. It was actually a submission via the chat as well during the scheduled event chat, which is kind of like a pre-show, but I don't know if you don't want to call it a pre-show, whatever it was. I actually can't remember who sent the chat, and now I feel very upset about that. Maybe if I look backwards, I can... maybe I'll just shout out a bunch of people here. Optimus Prime, Lonely Loner, William Bowden. Please keep submitting your cool stories here. Harry Solomon, Stosh M. Anyway, somebody submitted this in there. And it's about the new HomePod, the HomePod returning. Apple's larger HomePod returns with upgraded audio and more smart home tools. It did seem like a blind spot. It seemed strange that Apple wouldn't have a smart speaker in this day and age when the vast majority of their competitors seem obsessed with smart speakers, like promoting it, giving them away, voice assistants. Although Apple hasn't been dominant in this particular category, Siri hasn't been particularly dominant in this category, you still felt this is a thing you best be working on. And on their webpage, they're calling it all new. All new HomePod. Order now, available starting 2-3. That's February 3rd. They put out a little film for it as well. So apparently we have better fidelity audio here. They, of course, are also always advertising their version of privacy and security, which is frequently suggested as superior to the likes of Amazon and Google and so forth. So maybe some people, there's some points associated with that. Obviously, there's a big ecosystem component, too. If you have an iPhone and an iPad and an Apple TV, you're like, just give me the smart speaker from Apple. And theirs does take a slightly different approach in the sense that it is a big unit and it's an emphasis on sound. It's available in two colors. You have midnight or white, and then you've also got that display on the top section. It comes with 6 months of Apple Music for free. With the HomePod, what do they say as far as specs are concerned? Can you click on tech specs for me? So size and weight—that's interesting. It's 6.5 inches tall, 5.5 inches wide. So that's like kind of like bookshelf ish. It's definitely not competing with the mini type speaker units. It's 5.16 pounds. So also, it is portable, but really, maybe not intended to the same extent as the truly portable ones. But this is sound we're talking about, and sound is always going to benefit from scale, pretty much 100% of the time. 4-inch high excursion woofer, array of 5 horn-loaded tweeters.
You're an audio guy. Are they good?
No. I just like the idea of a 5 horn-loaded tweeter.
Yeah.
Or 5 horn-loaded tweeters.
Horn.
I mean, you strike me as a horn-loaded guy.
Really?
You like to keep the horn loaded. Each tweeter with its own neodymium magnet internal low-frequency calibration microphone. I would love to write these little spec sheets. Automatic bass correction, advanced computational audio with system sensing for real-time tuning, room sensing, spatial audio. There are some things that Apple is doing that's kind of cool, I just need Siri to get up to that level. Multi-room and AirPlay, incredibly convenient. I need Siri to get up to that level.
I hear you.
I'm still waiting to become friends with Siri. It hasn't happened yet. Are you friends with Siri?
No.
Are you friends?
I'm working on it.
Are you friends with Google Assistant?
Yeah, we're homies.
Okay. Well, see, that tells you what you need to know. People in the chat, you can let me know. Are you friends with Siri, Google Assistant? Is it Alexa? Is Alexa your best friend? Let me know. I'm curious. Yeah, availability, I did say, but I'll reiterate, February 3rd. You can order it now. It's $399 Canadian. So yeah. I assume it's $299 US. But that's okay. It's all right, Will. People will get all to the bottom of it. Amazon's Jeff Bezos paid $3 billion with the hope he'll live longer. What a headline. Here's the problem. Well, there's probably a little finesse there because I believe this is an investment. Jeff Bezos made a large investment in biotech startup Altos Labs 1 year ago. And what's three billies to a guy like Bezos? We already know Bezos stands for billies, which is working to cure aging. Alphabet Inc. co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin are also funding research into prolonging death. Ooh, talk about big business. You want prolonged death, sir? Pony up. Rejuvenation no longer just for the human face, but possibly the human race. Face race, bars, freestyle. Not for the human race. Not for the human face. For the human race. This technology has been developed by this biotech company. Apparently can extend the lifespan of mice by 7%. What do you want to pay me for 7 points on your life?
$3 billion, apparently.
Oh, you got stuff to get done? You want to go make amends? You have apologies that you have to distribute to people?
Yeah.
You want to go shake some hands? You got a bucket list? Here's what I'm going to charge you for 7 points on your lifespan.
That sounds like a bargain, actually.
Although the breakthrough hasn't been peer-reviewed, San Diego-based Rejuvenate Bio claims it has been successful in reprogramming the genes of small rodents, causing mice to live an average of 18 weeks longer following the treatment than the control group, according to MIT Technology Review. What could this mean for humans? Oh, I don't know. Mice are kind of like humans. Figure out the cell situation with us. Slow down the aging. Make it expensive. What happens, Will? Some people live longer than others. It's like everything else.
Would you?
And what's going to happen when the billionaires live longer than the general public? I'm watching some show where the lifespan is different for different. They're like, was it the witches or something? They live for 300 years.
Vampires.
What about in Star Wars? Isn't Yoda for how many?
A couple thousand years
old? So the
That's
wisdom,
why he's so wise.
The wisdom's out of control. He's just toying with everyone else.
Yeah.
You ready for Bezos to toy with you, or not to toy with you, but to toy with your offspring?
Because
he's seen it all. He's been here for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
What about when Bezos turns into Yoda?
I wonder if he looks the same.
He's green and he's swinging sabers. And you're not ready for that. You're just out there on Tatooine.
I'm still alive?
I don't know. Your offspring.
What's a Star Wars plug?
I don't know. Your offspring. What else do people live long? What about in your Game of Thrones? Those dragons must have been old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty old.
So, listen. Or who knows, maybe everybody gets access. Maybe it's like everything else, like smartphones, the cost comes down. I don't know. We want to look at it that way. Over time, the cost comes down. But imagine you get to a point of like price per day, price per minute. Can you go in there and just, I need that gene treatment. I need a week. I only need a week. Come on, doctor. Give me a week, doctor. Give me a week. They're like, you're a little late on your payments.
And is it like a shot? What is it? What do you think?
It's a therapy of sorts. Suppose, for example, we had a kind of vaccine for the pandemic of age. The pandemic of potentially exacerbate all the kinds of existing inequalities that we have. The longer you're around, the more your wealth compounds, and the wealthier you are. That's right. You're just making all these investments, and
right.
That's one way to look at it. But could we also, maybe we could look at the other way and just say, no, actually, it's going to get distributed to everyone. Everyone's just going to live longer. It's going to be super cheap. Will, why are you looking at me like that?
Would you do it? What if it's just 7%?
Some people are saying it could be a subscription service, $4.99 a month.
Yeah.
Guys, I got to cancel my Netflix. I'm dying too fast. I got to slow it down.
What if the max is 7%?
Well, listen,
it's not too bad.
If
isn't
we
it?
Just look at it for the technology, then there should be some appreciation. It's pretty cool that if we could freeze aging, like slow it down. That's pretty cool. And so I know everything has to be political and everything else. It's 2023 and it's just the way things are. But just look at the technology and say, damn, as humans, we're so crafty.
Yeah.
Like slowing down death itself.
Mother Nature.
Imagine 70% became 70%. Or 7% became 70%.
Yeah.
I wonder at which point people would start slowing it down right from the age of maturity, because your brain is still developing and such. What happens? Where would you lock yourself, Will? What age would you, if you could just freeze it and be like, you know what? I'm going to spend, I would like to spend the next 10 years at the age of 25.
I don't mind 25.
You were going to say 25.
Or maybe like 30. But, still a little spry.
But then, your mind and experience
is like 1,000 years.
This is all very interesting, isn't it? Because we were talking the other day about wearing your age and how the way everyone treats you is different. Yeah. And like speaking about respect and things like that. And probably the way you approach things is in some way a consequence of age. So this is very curious. There's massive social implications, Will.
What would you do?
Technology and massive social implications.
7%. Come on, bud.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't even know how to price such a thing. I can't even imagine pricing such a thing. It seems priceless.
What if it was free?
It seems priceless, dude.
Price of a hot dog. Hurry up. Go.
Wait, I'm getting 7% longer for a hot dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously I'm doing that.
You would?
Crazy. Come on, man. It depends how experimental it actually ends up subtracting. They're like, we put the wrong one.
Yeah.
We actually cut you short 7. We went on the subtraction.
The other serum.
Imagine you got people that are actually expediting their death. They're like, I only want like another 10. Weird. Tesla is seeing unprecedented demand and stores are hitting new records. Well, yeah, they just dropped the prices as well. So if the demand was so unprecedented, then why drop the price? Or did you drop the price and then receive unprecedented? Mm-hmm. Currently experiencing unprecedented demand in the U.S. following the significant price cuts that happened last week. Many stores are hitting new records and inventories are dwindling. The price cut was up to $13,000 on Model 3 and Y vehicles in the U.S. Automaker tried to claim that the price cuts were due to a partial normalization of the cost of inflation, but most industry experts agree that Tesla needed the price cuts to create demand. Mm. Well, and there you go. But I guess you could call it inflation normalization. Call it what you want to call it. That just triggered a song in my mind. I think it's by Exhibit. Call it what you want to call it. I'm an expletive alcoholic. Oh. It might be Exhibit. I might have the reference wrong. But every time I say call it what you want to call it, my brain finishes the line.
Straight bars right there.
And the bars come out. Yeah. The bars come out to play. Sources familiar with the matter told Electrek that many Tesla stores in North America had reached their new record for sales in a single week. One source familiar with Tesla sales said that the company is experiencing unprecedented demand. Okay, yeah, we already in China, they were protesting though. I don't know if you saw that. The people who already bought are like, what the heck, man?
Mm-hmm. Where's my rebate?
What's interesting though is you are not like, what the heck, man? You're just like, eh. I waited so damn long. Just leave me alone. Like, you're not like, what the heck? But you kind of could be what the heck, as we talked about.
Yeah. I'm aware of it.
But why is it not bugging you? Like, you're not at the point of sending an email. No, I'm not. And by the way, I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You're not at the point of sending an email saying, hey, I just got delivery of this and you dropped it $3,000.
But who do I talk to?
You would
like support? I just feel like they don't really care.
So
they're having so much demand.
You think it wouldn't be worth
the previous
your time.
Owners? Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm just curious because I might be with you, but in China, I've seen video clips of protests in the showroom.
Yeah.
Where they're demanding the difference. Now, some of these people didn't even receive their cars yet. They're just. Let me ask you that: if you hadn't taken delivery yet, then would you ask for the deduction?
Yeah, probably, actually.
You're like, man, my thing is sitting. It hasn't been delivered yet, and you just lowered the price. Even though you signed the previous contract at the previous price, you would still... Because that's a lot of what the conversation was about. I'm sure there's some that just took delivery, then saw the price drop. But you know how it works. You have price protections.
Well, I guess it's the deposit first. You would have to, cancel the deposit. It's no real contract in place until you get the vehicle and then you sign for it.
Right.
So... Yeah, I mean, it would suck, but I would definitely
make
a stink about it.
So listen,
if I didn't get the car.
I'm sure you've heard about this when you're just shopping like on a regular site or store where they would have a 30-day price protection, as an example.
Okay, yeah.
And they would say, if this product goes below the price you paid for it over a certain period of time, we'll honor the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of what I'm talking about. I don't know if Tesla has a policy for that, but I think that's kind of what people have gotten used to.
And that's fair.
It's like, hey, that's too close to the time I bought it.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like I missed out over here. Others might suggest, hey, man, you snooze, you lose, whatever. You buy, that's the price you agreed to. So shut up. But it's a couple things that actually happened to those buyers. You had the new federal tax credit thing come into play, which was huge, of $7,500 plus the potential of up to a $13,000 drop on Model 3 and Y, even bigger on Model S. Mm-hmm. You're going to be talking about a big difference in cost.
Yeah, so totally. Maybe it is worth to make us think about it.
Kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Tesla video promoting self-driving was staged.
A lot of negative stories today. Engineer, I told you in the morning.
Testifies. Staged. Ooh, conspiracy. I'm helping you with the title right now, Will. Yeah. Conspiracy, spooked, speculation, speculative.
Shock.
Shocking
very
news.
Shocking. Yeah.
Staged is good. Staged.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just helping you out, Will.
All right.
Just so you guys know, Will has a lot of fun with the titles for these clips. And for those of you that also don't know, all this entire show turns into clips, and we appreciate everybody who goes over there and watches the clips as well. Pick and choose a la carte. We like to be a la carte.
Yeah.
You can get the whole enchilada, or you can go a la carte.
Yeah.
When's the last time you were at a buffet?
It's been a while.
You don't go to a buffet?
No. Although I would like to.
You don't have anything against it?
No. Not at all.
It's just not a thing that should be enjoyed on a too frequent of a basis.
Definitely not.
Yeah. What do you think? Is your buffet once a year or two times a year?
Two times a year.
You're going two times
a
year.
Let's spoil ourselves.
And you're looking around and you're putting on the plate. You take what you like, don't you?
It's very fun. I like the idea.
Now, let me ask you something here about a buffet. Are you more inclined to load up the first plate, or do you take it easy knowing you can go back?
I usually take it easy. I do testers of everything.
Interesting.
Small, tiny portions.
You know what? This sounds like life hacks. Willie Doo's life hacks. When you go to the buffet,
try it all.
Take tiny amount of many things, figure out what you like a sampler.
And then fully load.
And then you go fully loaded.
Yeah.
2016 video that Tesla used to promote its self-driving technology was staged to show capabilities like stopping at a red light and accelerating at a green light that the system did not have, according to a testimony by a senior engineer. The video, which remains archived on Tesla's website, was released in October 2016 and promoted on Twitter by chief executive Elon Musk as evidence that a Tesla drives itself. Of course, that wasn't the case in the video clip. According to this engineer, the Model X in the video was not driving itself at the time. Ashok Aliswamy, director of autopilot software at Tesla, said in the transcript of a July deposition taken as evidence in a lawsuit against Tesla for a 2018 fatal crash involving a former Apple engineer. Ooh, definitely conspiratorial now. So they're going to have him in court for a lawsuit, and they're going to say, is this self-driving stuff really legit? And then they're going to look for any evidence to suggest that there's any kind of funny business. And so they're going to look through the archives and say, in this particular ad or video clip, you implied that the car was having a behavior that it wasn't. In other words, falsely representing its true capabilities. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to be suggesting, right?
Yeah.
The video carries a tagline saying the person in the driver's seat is only there for legal reason. He's not doing anything. The car is driving itself. So it's kind of like a little disclaimer on the original clip demonstrating the system's capabilities. So I would assume basically what happened there is they're like, we got to film this thing. And what we're going to do.
It's not 100%. Maybe it's 99%.
We're going to fudge it for the purpose of the ad or the video, knowing that eventually we're building towards that. And then, obviously, it comes out at a later date that that was in some way misrepresented at the time. To create the video, the Tesla used 3D mapping on a predetermined route from a house in Menlo Park, California, to Tesla's then headquarters in Palo Alto. He said drivers intervened to take control in test runs. When trying to show the Model X could park itself with no driver, a test car crashed into a fence in Tesla's parking lot. He said the intent of the video was not to accurately portray what was available for customers in 2016. It was to portray what was possible to build in the system in the future. I get it. But the legal system is going to look into that now and use it as evidence against them. And who knows what type of settlement might be reached in such a situation. Tesla-induced pileup involved driver-assist tech government data reveals. Was this the pileup that we talked about in the underpass?
Yes.
Recently, apparently,
just a quick update on
Teslas have been having issues with driving the underpasses. I also noticed a separate article, which is slightly less grim, which is about Tesla actually upgrading the resolution of its cameras. Which may help in circumstances like this, using 5-megapixel cameras and something. So maybe they're working on it. Maybe they, I assume, they know some of the shortcomings of their current tech. The Tesla Model S that braked sharply, triggering the 8-car crash in San Francisco. This was the viral clip, which we talked about previously on the show. It happened in November. Had the automaker's controversial driver assist software engaged at the time, according to data the federal government released on Tuesday. So it wasn't the driver.
No.
The Tesla Model S slowed to 7 miles per hour on the highway at the time of the crash, according to the data. Publicly released video showed the car moving into the far left lane and braking abruptly. That was the other thing. The signal light was on. So we were curious if that was triggered by the car directly or if there was user input at that point in time. Like we were, there's a lot of questions about the, not just the fact that it slowed down, but the way in which it slowed down. So here we have the clip back on display. And we see the car, there's a short signal, but then it just stops at that point. And then obviously gets rear-ended and all the other cars pile up because it is a highway. And there's something you don't do on a highway, Will, which is come to an abrupt stop. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing it yourself or whether autopilot is doing it. I have to be honest, though, and this is obviously the way the human mind works. Uh-huh. You see something like this occur. So it does actually get over to the other lane. It does try to change lanes, hit the brakes, and then that's obviously when the crash happens. The person can't slow down in time. They're coming in here hot. Here's the thing that my mind does, and I don't have all the data. I'm not sitting there in the control room. I'm not sitting there with access to Elon's data. But the thing my mind does is it sits there and says, well, now I have evidence of this one clip, and now I have evidence that the car was on autopilot at the time. And you know what I do? I say to myself, next time I'm on the highway, I don't want to follow that Tesla. So I say to myself, I just don't want to follow that Tesla too closely because autopilot's probably engaged. I'm on the highway and I've seen this thing happen abruptly. Now, it is a particular circumstance with the underpass scenario. But then when we talked about it, I read the comments and other people said, happens to me on the underpass. So I see the underpass and I see the Tesla in front of me. I see the underpass. I see the Tesla in front of me. It's enough to make a guy nervous.
Yeah.
At this point in time, justified or unjustified, statistically speaking.
And then we always hear about phantom braking.
The Tesla's driver told authorities that the vehicle's full self-driving software braked unexpectedly and triggered the pileup on Thanksgiving Day. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration then announced that it was sending a special crash investigation team to examine the incident. Well, did they have to? They go, okay, you said that it was in self-driving. That unit, that special investigations unit, only looks at about 100 crashes per year. So they like this one. They're like, this is what we're here for, to investigate this. Full self-driving is designed to keep up with traffic, steer in the lane, and abide by traffic signals. But despite Tesla's name for it, requires attentive human. Well, that's the other thing. What is the human level of responsibility to intervene with the autopilot system when it begins to do something unexpected? In this case, it's kind of tough. When you talk about like acceleration unexpectedly, maybe you have some runway in front of you and you have the opportunity to brake. But when the thing brakes unexpectedly, you're already nervous because you're like, does it see something I don't see?
Yeah, it's there's tough doubt there.
To know to override it. You're like, is there something in the street that I can't possibly see? Anyway, autopilot is amazing, truly amazing technology coming from a person who's using it on a regular basis. But the problem here is consequences in the vehicle are obviously tend to be catastrophic. So because of that, everyone's treading very lightly, and it's the reason that this clip has so much interest and many millions of views, because humans are curious about emerging tech and are adjusting their expectations accordingly. We'll see what else comes out of this expectation or out of this investigation, but it does appear that self-driving was enabled during that fateful moment. Twitter says it's intentionally blocking apps like Tweetbot. Okay. This is something I wanted to talk about. I think you may have seen I put this story in. I think it was yesterday. But yeah. I've actually been hearing about this since before that. There have been people on Twitter complaining about their third-party apps no longer working as far as accessing Twitter. And at first, in the absence of some type of announcement, people were having to speculate on their own as to what the heck was going on. Is this over now?
A bug?
Well, they were just, issue. Yeah, they were thinking maybe there was some sort of update push that caused their particular client to stop working. And many people have one client that they use. So they're like, maybe it's a problem with the client. I personally still use TweetDeck from time to time. You have others like Tweetbot, and there's just whatever, a handful of third-party apps, which for one reason or another might be more convenient for people managing multiple social media accounts. Twitter says some apps aren't working because the platform is enforcing its long-standing third-party API rules. It still hasn't explained what rules apps are breaking. So they obviously looked at everything and said, hey, our API has these rules in it, and now we're just enforcing it, which is having this effect. I have seen some of the software companies that develop these third-party apps saying, hey, sayonara, see you later, RIP.
Wow, just giving up.
Well, I think they may have some insight that we don't officially. They may have correspondence even with Twitter suggesting that, hey, this isn't going to change and we want people on the real site. Twitter's vagueness, scroll up just a little bit, isn't much of a surprise given that the company dismantled its communications team as part of CEO Elon Musk's mass layoffs. One senior Twitter engineer reportedly told employees that third-party outages are intentional, but never explained why, according to internal messages obtained by The Information. Situation has left both developers who make a living off of these apps and users who use them to enhance their Twitter experience frustrated and confused. While one app, Tweetbot, briefly came back online over the weekend, that was only because co-creator Paul Hadid swapped out its API keys. This put the app in a semi-working state and allowed it to temporarily bypass the ban. And then he goes on Twitter, the co-creator of the company, and says, I want to publicly apologize to Twitter for breaking its longstanding API rule of. And then it's a bit of a troll because he puts just a line saying, I don't know where this rule is. Can you please show me this rule? However, I think it's been sort of a sketchy relationship with the third-party apps for a long time, and many social media companies and platforms don't have a healthy relationship with third-party apps because third-party apps tend to, alter the experience and can be bad for business in some cases where they want, you're not seeing enough ads or interacting with features and experiments that the company themselves wants you to be using. However, I have to say I have found third-party Twitter apps to be extremely useful and to make me more of a Twitter user. So it goes to show you that, to each their own, I don't know if there's a way to coexist here or to find a healthy, happy medium. But it is unfortunate anytime you have confusion and too much unknown, because these people, developers and so forth, a little bit of notice here or a little bit of a little bit of leeway here, a little bit of information.
It's pretty unfair. But in this case, a lot of people seems to be using these third-party apps. What's Twitter's next step? You think that they should buy these apps or develop their own features?
Well, Twitter just goes in there and turns off. Because
they have money, apparently.
They just turn off the pipeline, man. They just go, oh, it's an API. Screw off, right? They don't have to allow it. I know at one point in time, Twitter themselves was working with TweetDeck. I think they may have even acquired TweetDeck and said, oh, this is just like the pro version. So, but my thing is, if you're going to alienate all these people, you're going to piss off all these people. You're likely not going to go back and say, let's partner. Chances are you're working on your own version of it. And you're just saying, screw off. It's been in the API since day one. We're enforcing it now. And we'll show you the line at a later date or whatever it happens to be. And there's going to be people pissed off, including users, not just developers, but users who rely on these tools or are used to these tools and so on.
Yeah.
Netflix is set for its slowest revenue growth as its ad plan struggles to gain traction. Bad news for Netflix X2. Netflix has been really having some kind of midlife crisis going on. It kind of reminds me of us, Will. On a much bigger, grander scale, but trying to figure out, trying to navigate this, the complicated, just a complicated media landscape in 2023, short form, medium form, long form, streaming, free, on demand, ownership, originals, binge watching, not binge watching. It's just rapid experimentation, comedy shows, fewer comedy shows, exclusives, exclusive licensing deals. I could go on. Competition, Disney Plus, HBO. You don't need me to go on.
No, they're just names at this point.
Revenue may increase by only 1.5%, which is its smallest gain ever. Netflix launched its ad-supported plan, but apparently it has not seen significant adoption. Netflix will probably post fourth quarter earnings per share of 44 cents. Versus $1.33 in the prior quarter. Revenue is expected to climb at its lowest ever rate to 7.8 billion. Global streaming subscribers will increase by the narrowest margin in company history. Netflix faces increasing competition and cost, diminished customer spending, and an ad-supported plan that is yet to achieve subscription goals. Where is the data on the ad-supported tier? Is it in here? I hope so, because that's the curious figure for me. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Now, Netflix for a while, by the way, was expanding rapidly into new markets. That was one of the ways in which they were fighting off or just maintaining certain astronomical growth rates. So they go into India and wherever they could go to capture new audiences and create content for that market. Do you have data for us, Will?
Is it here?
The $6.99 per month ad-supported plan does not have access to all the titles. Not enough to win over a significant number of customers in the United States and Canada, analysts say. Well, I don't know if they have an actual number on it. They just know. These analysts just know. But yeah, Netflix doesn't necessarily represent. I remember when they suggested the ad-supported tier, and we were sitting there saying, I don't know, it's not cheap enough. If you're already at whatever it is, $7 or something, it's like, is it such a big deal for a couple more bucks and then get rid of the ads? Like,
or have it a free plan and then watch the ads.
No, I know, but free wasn't, they weren't willing to dabble with free. They want paid plus ads because they want that revenue. Right. They think what'll happen is they'll cannibalize the paid subscription and everyone will just say, well, free is too good to pass up. I'll cancel my subscription and just watch the ads. Plus, the user experience will eventually suffer. And also, the content partnerships they want to make with high profile productions, those guys aren't such a fan of ads. Mm. They're like, nah, man, if you're going to have the exclusive on my movie, I want it to play for sure without ads. And so these are all these complicated negotiations that will then have to take place as a consequence. Mm. So they're in a weird zone where they got to figure out where they're going to invest their money and time, and if they need to like lean into what they're already really good at and just become comfortable with the fact that streaming can't really grow and that competition is just the nature of the thing at the moment, or do they continue to rapidly experiment with plans and ad-supported tiers and possibly also launching shorter form content, or like, I don't know, right? It's probably everything's on the table at the moment because it's competition, Will, and you got to battle, you got to fight, you're in it to win it. Everyone is competing for the attention of a few, and there's so many new and motivated suppliers.
And just sheer amount of content.
Amount of content. And a lot of it, as you mentioned, a lot of it free or cheap. And you sit there and think to yourself, what am I truly willing to pay for? And it's a question I would like to pass on to the audience. What are you willing to pay for? What is important to you? What are the shows and the content that you'll put your credit card down for?
Because we want to know.
And how committed are you to those shows?
Yeah.
You know, like, how close are you to canceling the ones that you are paying for, saying, you know what, free content that's out there is good enough for me. It's plenty. It's lots. Abundant supply of ad-supported content. I don't know. A woman receives the first ever successful transplant of a living 3D-printed ear. Cool. Collaboration between doctors and U.S.-based regenerative medicine company 3D Biotherapeutics has seen the first successful implant of a 3D printed ear made from human cells. Human cell 3D printer. 3D printer, no plastic product, no like spool of variety of plastic materials, but human cells in the 3D printer. That is amazing stuff. And obviously imagine the capabilities here. Mm-hmm. You don't need a live donor to give you the body part. You don't need somebody to die or take the organ out or off. You just make one from scratch. You're like, why don't we cook one up from scratch? Betty Crocker style.
That should be their tagline.
The transplant was one part of a larger cutting-edge effort, the first clinical trial of human cell 3D printed grafts. This event marks a major step towards widespread artificial tissue implants and tissue engineering. Well, that's the other thing, tissue engineering. You know, they start talking about growing your next steak, growing your next ear. Once you got human cells working in this fashion, Will, I mean, the sky's the limit over here. And when you combine it with Jeff Bezos' cell treatment for elongating your life, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you got like one dead body part, they're like, we're going to 3D print that. We're going to boost you up on the cell treatment.
Wow.
Cyborg status. Elon's going to give you the Neuralink. Cyborg status. The condition this ear was meant to address is known as microtia or microtia, which involves the underdevelopment of or entire absence of one or both ears. Around 1,500 people are born with the condition each year in the U.S. alone, and there are currently precious few options for treatment. They can't, what are you going to do? There's no ear, you got to make an ear. And that's what they did in this case, using bio ink. God, why does that seem so cool? Like, what do you do for a living? I'm a bio ink artist. I like
artist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I like to work in the bio inks. That is art, is it not, Will?
Is it?
Or are you sure. one of these purists? Are you one of these guys?
Aficionado.
There are decisions to be made on crafting this ear. Obviously, you can look at the other ear, but there's forms, there's curves. All this is going to have to
That's very complex, eh?
Programmed in there.
Yeah.
Curves and then material. The material has to be thinner in some sections, thicker in others. Come on, Will.
This is very
Come on,
impressive.
Will. Call it art, Will.
All right.
Give me an art on that.
All right.
Give me an art on that.
Can't deep fake that.
Give me an art on that.
Yeah.
There's human input. This is not AI generated.
Uh-huh.
Give me an art on that.
All right. It's artful.
Artful is not the same as art. Yeah. Artful. Someone says, the only good show on Netflix is Breaking Bad. I disagree with that. Some couple things over there.
Yeah.
So you went from ear to ear wax.
Yeah.
Because you just like to flow like that.
Last one.
Earwax removal device heads to market with $8 million funding, FDA clearance, and you can just tell that that's going to be a viral TikTok video when you look at that.
Yeah,
you
right.
Look at that image and you're like, hey, I just see.
It's made for TikTok.
I see TikTok slathered all over that one. The guy is wearing what look like enormous headphones, and but it looks to be extracting a liquid-like substance from his ears.
Mm.
I presume there's some type of suction involved. The man clicks a button on a device settled on his ears like a giant headphone set. A motor runs, fluid flows. It's weirdly satisfying, he says in a TikTok video that's racked up, 1.5 million views or 15 million views?
15 million views,
because we're talking TikTok.
Yeah.
All right, play the video, Will. See what you got here.
Yeah. Well, this is the promo video. I want TikTok guys' video.
If you don't mind. I think there was a link at the top there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to see. Please wait. TikTok's very busy right now. You have volume? I want to hear him say oddly satisfying. Labeled left and right. It's flushing his ears out, so it's sending water in there and then.
Yeah, there's like a.
Really satisfying.
There's a top chamber and a lower chamber.
He goes, really satisfying. Top chamber shoots clean or...
Yeah, you load it with clean water.
I guess clean is probably distilled probably, right? Because you got microbes and microbials and sure. I don't know. But and then it shoots in and then in the bottom chamber... After flushing it out, it shoots the dirty water. You like this kind of thing, Will.
I'll give it a shot. Come on now.
I knew you would. You like this kind of thing. This is right up your alley. It is a big contraption to have around. I don't know how often. You know what I think people are going to do? They're going to do like...
This guy's ears is... The water's brown.
Well, it should be, shouldn't it? I think the other guy's using it too often. See, because
there's that thing too.
Because that's what I think people are going to do. Is they're going to go, oof, oddly satisfying. And then... There's like a natural component to it as well. Like you don't want to keep those things
squeaky clean.
Well, because it's going to dry it out, I would think, at a certain point. And then you're going to have irritation and you might actually increase production. I think this is something you're going to use in a, I don't know what the advice even of a medical professional would be, how often you want to be using it. The developer says we want to essentially do for your ears what Sonicare and electric toothbrush companies have done for teeth. I don't know that you're supposed to be doing that as often. I don't know. The device was a blueprint. About 10% of children and 5% of adults have excessive or impacted earwax. An estimated 8 million earwax removal procedures occur annually in U.S. clinics. No, that's cool. Like not needing to go to a... Mm. Doctor's office or something.
And everyone can use it.
It's just water, so it's probably safer than jamming anything in your ear.
Mm.
It's a lot of cool aspects to it. I hope they just get the protocol in there, and I'm sure they will. Instruction manual saying, okay, like, you know, use this one no more than, what would you think, once a week or something?
Yeah, once a week, once a month.
Once a month, you're thinking.
Not daily.
You're thinking definitely once a month. Yeah, so just figure out... The right cadence for use, but there you go. You get the feeling these days that many of these products can launch based on TikTok campaigns alone, like viral video campaigns alone.
Yeah.
Where it would just be like, hey, man, this is a good product demo in short form. In about a minute, we can show people what it does and everyone will understand the contraption. And they don't need an enormous marketing budget. And since they can just do it all via e-commerce, boom. Orders start to fill up and everyone's wearing these headphones, just flushing those ears out.
That's fun.
Across the globe. I saw a chunk of something come out over there in that one. Yeah, it was oddly satisfying.
Oh, wow.
And people are into weird stuff. But anyway, there you have it. Thank you very much to everybody who joined us here today. Truly appreciate it. Work in progress. Always a work in progress. Everything is a work in progress. Everyone is a work in progress. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep getting better. We are trying. I need a drink. I have a drink over there.
Parched.
I am completely parched. Or maybe it's because I'm watching the water flush in and out of ear canals.
Yeah.
Maybe that got me thirsty. That's definitely not it. I've been thirsty for a while. Yeah. So we appreciate the support. Keep watching the show. Keep watching the clips. If you see the placeholder for the live show for tomorrow, hit the notifier, please. Anybody who wants to be a part of the pre-show, hit the notifier. You'll get a notification so that you can suggest topics that we talk about on the show. And I promise you, it actually does happen. It is happening.
And I'll be in the chat.
And Will will be in the chat talking to you. So all you got to do is get there a little bit early to do that. And then people who watch the show after, you don't have to watch the pre-show like, oh my God, we're solving all the world's problems. Definitely not. But we're trying to do something. We'll see what it amounts to one day.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Do appreciate you guys. Later.